Last few weeks, we've been having a lot of sickness, especially around the house and everywhere else. And I got bronchitis and have a hard time getting some air sometimes, getting some water. I told my wife, I said, if I die, put on my headstone, I told you I was sick. Had a dream the other night, and I was preaching a funeral. And when I got through preaching the funeral, got like a dude walked down. It was me there, so I said, well, that's what you get when you're going to preach your own funeral. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. We're going to talk about building the house of the Lord. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. Jehoiada took two wives for him, and he had sons and daughters. Now it happened after this that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. Then he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out in the cities of Judah and gather from all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you do it quickly. However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Jehoiada, the chief priest, and said to him, why have you not required the Levites to bring in from Judah and from Jerusalem the collection, according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the assembly of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Adaliah, that wicked woman, hath broken into the house of God, and have also presented all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Then, at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord, and they made a proclamation throughout Judea and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, had imposed on Israel in the wilderness. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced, brought their contributions, and put them in the chest until it all had given. So it was at time when the chest was brought to the king officials by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, that the king's scribes and the high priest and officers came and emptied the chest and took it and returned it to the place. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. And they hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also those who worked in iron and bronze to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and the work was completed by them that restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. When they had finished, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada and made from it articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and offering, spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings to the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit open up our hearts and our eyes of understanding that we might be enlightened today. And God, we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Today, as you already read, as we've read, we're going to talk about rebuilding the house of the Lord. One of the hardest things a preacher has to do is motivate, I believe, people to give to the Lord. And yes, I heard about one pastor that thought about what he would do to motivate people to worship God and give to God. So he decided he would wire all the seats with electricity. And when he would ask for money, he would push a button and they would jump up. So he said, all who will give $500 to our building fund, stand up. And he pushed a button and about 20 stood up. Man, he praised God for those 20. Then he said, all who would give $1,000 to the building fund, would you please stand up and hit that button? About 15 stood up. Man, the people were really excited about the giving program. It was going well. And he said, now I want all who give $10,000 stand up. Pushed a button, and he electrocuted 13 of his deacons. Well, that's a good idea. Today, if I push a button, you stand up, okay? I don't want you to be electrocuted. And there's no electricity, but that is a good idea. I don't think anyone could disagree that our God is certainly worthy of all that we give him. And I don't preach on tithing very much, but I was sitting in my office this last week, and I thought, you know, in 2017, God blessed us mightily as a church. Matter of fact, I can't think of a year since 1985 that God did not bless this church with multitudes of salvations, multitudes of people, multitudes of money, that God has always blessed our church. Our budget this year was, I believe, $664,500 or something like that. That weekly divided out to be $12,778. I just happened to know those figures because Miss Jane told them to me. You know, that's about, on the average, they say 20% of the people give 80% of the money in church, and some don't give anything. And I understand today that, you know, financially, and I believe our economy is doing better than it's done in a lot of years. And so the Lord has blessed. Now, you can give, I believe, different ways to different things. And we have had building funds here, and you see what God has done and blessed us. And I was asking Miss Jane what we owed on the building over here. And we owe paying this whole building off, everything that you see here, $199,000. And that's not too much if you say it real fast. But God has blessed us. And I just want to encourage you today. If you do not tithe, do that. You see, I sat with a class earlier in Sunday school, and they were talking about what can we do as a class to help you out, Pastor. And I said, encourage our young people. Encourage one another. Encourage those parents with little children. Oh, it's so good to see all these little children up here. We've got a great children's wing down here and the nursery going on, and we got a child care program going on during the week. I just thank God for Miss Kendra that's doing that. And let me tell you, she's doing that and she's not charging a penny for it. And man, I feel guilty about that. I really want to see that thing grow and so she can get a salary from it. And man, I tell you, it's a blessing. But you know, in our church, we have a lot of people, and we have a lot of things going. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but a tithe is 10%. And that's what Moses is required back in the Old Testament here, in the wilderness. And you see, they had an abundance of giving. I shared about a fellow that was visiting the pastor every day is saying, Pastor, I want to do something. And the pastor went crazy and finally said, okay, here are 10 members that were relatively wealthy members, but they never came to church. And he says, here's their phone numbers, here's their addresses. You go out or you write them a letter and you go out and see them and tell them that the pastor misses them and would like for them to come back to church and help with the church responsibilities. About a week later, one of the wealthy men sent in a $10,000 offering. And he said, "Pastor, I haven't been there in many months, but I will be there this next Sunday. And here's a check for $10,000. Would you please tell your secretary that there's only one T in dirty, two T's in rotten, and no C in skunk?" She had wrote a letter, "You dirty, rotten skunk. You haven't been in church for a long time, and we sure could use your money." I don't think that was what the pastor really wanted to get out there, but he got the idea anyhow. In our scripture, I believe we have a wonderful way that our Lord God is to be honored and to raise money in His work for His church and His house. And let's look at this passage of scripture. The person who directed the giving was a young king. King Joash was only 7 years old, and he became king at a very young age. But Joash, the Bible says, had a heart for God. You see, I believe if we have a heart that blesses God, we won't have any problem giving towards God's work. You see, Joash did what was right, the Bible says, in the sight of God. He was a man with convictions in his life. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, folks, I'll tell you what. I believe the Bible. I'm very conservative. I preach what's in the Word of God. I am not ashamed of preaching on tithing. I'm not ashamed because that's what's right in the sight of the Lord. You see, some people won't tell you just what they want you to hear, and they want to tickle your ears. Well, if you come to be tickled your ears, you have come to the wrong place. Friends, that tells me that he didn't always do what was easy. And it's not easy to tell you that it's a responsibility to God. And if you do not do what God says do in the Word of God, you're robbing God. You're stealing from God. You're just as guilty as one guy said old Dillinger was back when he was robbing banks. You see, some of you don't know who Dillinger is, but he was a number one gangster back years ago. But you see, God said, give 10%. I'm not ashamed of that. Joash did what was right inside of God, he said. Not always what was expected, but he always did what was right in the sight of God. And if you please God, you know what? It really doesn't matter who you displease. But if you displease God, it doesn't matter who you please. Now think about that. Right is right when everyone else is against it. And wrong is wrong when everyone else is for it. You see, it's not always easy to stand and for a congregation and say, listen, you need to do what's right in the sight of God in your life. And giving to God's house is right. God says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, saith the Lord. He says, see, you do what I ask you to do, and see if I won't bless you. Now, I asked the class earlier about tithing testimonies. And you know what? Excuse me. I've got to get some more water. You know, God will always give us a heart that blesses Him. If you'll just ask Him to give you a heart that blesses God. A heart that is burdened for God will always be one that blesses God. You see, Joash set his heart on not only that, repairing the house of the Lord. ladies last week said, "Brother Preacher, now she's here today, and I love her to death. She knows I love her to death." She said something about, "Can you get these pews clean?" And I said, "Yeah, all you had to do is start cleaning them." It won't make me mad at all. And if any of you want to help her, you're fine to do that. But I believe when we look at God's house ought to be one of the best places in town. Because people come in and they see God's house, and this is a testimony of how we love God and what we believe in God. Now, I believe I have a burden to see God's house restored. In verse 13, it says, "The workmen restored the house of God to its original condition." It had been run down, and they needed extra money to the articles for serving, it says, and the articles for offering, giving. And the Lord's house had run down, and the priests couldn't even carry on their work or their duties because they didn't have the utensils to do it with. And the king's heart was burdened for God's house. Now I ask you, why couldn't the priests see that? I believe it's they couldn't see it because they did not have a heart for God like Joash did, the young king. You see, how you feel about God's house tells me a lot about how you feel about God. If you care for God's house, it's like you care for your own house. You're going to have it fixed, and you're going to have it repaired. You're going to have it clean. And a lot of how we feel about God's house tells this community how we love our God. My God deserves, I believe, the best. In 1985, we started out as a new church, and to be honest with you, we didn't have a whole lot. Matter of fact, we met down in City Hall, and we didn't have anything. And we had this, some of the members had went together, and they'd bought this property here for us to build on, and that property was paid off. And they come to the first building site, and we went down to Harper Heights, I believe it is, and looked at a building down there that we wanted, and we come back, and we thought about it, and raising the money was over $300,000, and somebody said, "We can't do that." And I said, "Oh, we can't, but with God, we can. God always furnishes the need, always supplies every need that you have. And I believe with all my heart we can." And we built that building, and God paid it off in less than 3 years, I believe it was paid off. The church grew in abundance, and we added to, and we had this building, and we needed to build this building. This building was almost right at $1 million. And we asked, "Can we do that?" And we said, "No, we can't, but God can." And so we stepped out by faith, and this building was built. And let me tell you something, God paid it off. 2002, the education building. Boy, things had really changed. Boy, the things were growing. Everything was doing good. And we built that building for $1.5 million. And I thought to myself, "Can we build that building?" And I said, "I can't, but God can." And today we only owe $199,000 on that building. It has been a great time. God has paid that thing down. You see, I believe we ought to have the very best for our Lord and Savior. You cannot have a burden. You cannot have be blessed by God unless you have a burden for your house of God and a blessing heart for God. We also see something else here, the procrastination in delaying the giving. Joash said, "Listen, priest, you tell the people we need this and need it quick." And he appoints a committee, and they did exactly what committees do best. They decided to do nothing. Now, somebody tell me, if you want to kill something, just form a committee. And that'll kill it. But they had a paralysis of analysis. They just kept on thinking about how to do it, and no one did it. I'm sure one man probably stood up in that committee. I've heard this many times. Look, brethren, it's not a very good time to be building right now. The economy is down. People are not have high interest rates, or you must be crazy. People are out of work. Let's just think on it for a while, preacher. I'm sure they had all those kind of decisions. Another man probably stood up and said, we've tried having fundraisers in this church before, and it just doesn't work. We can't do that. And another probably said, I don't like the idea of asking church members to support God's work. Well, you know what? Joash said, you need to hasten the matter. There's a matter because there's an urgency, because God's people need to get out and do the work of God, because people are lost. People are dying every day. Missions must be carried on. You know, I'm kind of fond of missions because my son's a missionary. And I'm so glad that him and his wife are missionaries. And, you know, Jesus is coming back one day. And we can't all go overseas, and we can't all do things like that, but people who are called can do that. And they go and do that. And we must reach, we must teach, and we must do all that we can and do it quickly, because the hour is coming when no man shall work. I read a true story a few years ago about in World War II. General Douglas MacArthur came to his engineer and said, listen, I need a bridge across that river to get the troops across. And he says, you get your men and draw up a plan. Make a bridge across that river. And he said, okay, sir. 3 days later, MacArthur called him and said, listen, have you got that plan for that bridge? And he said, the bridge is built, sir. He said, when can I cross it? You can cross it today if you want to, but if you're going to wait on that man to drop the plans, it'll be about 3 months. You see, there's time is short. We need to do what we're going to do and do it now. And then we see the people who demonstrated the giving. I love this. I don't know these people by name. The Bible doesn't say, but they were godly people, they were grateful people, and they were giving people. And I wouldn't never tell you in a church what you ought to give. But let me tell you something. I believe if you'll pray, the Lord will show you what to give, and I believe that starts at least 10%. Now, some of you, your tithe, God may say give 12% or 15%. I don't know, but you ought to at least start at 10. I don't like the idea of telling people you ought to start at 5, because you're telling them to cheat God right off the bat. I'd rather tell you to start at 10%. Now, folks, they gave humbly. The Bible says they humbled themselves and obeyed God in the matter of giving. They were obedient to their leader at the king's command. The Bible says in verse 8, they gave. You see, they got under the authority of God's man, under the authority of God's leadership. Now, you want to be blessed in a church, you get under the authority of God's man. There was no griping there. There were no backbiting there. There were no criticizing there. They did exactly what King Joash asked them to do. They gave. And they were obedient to their Lord, because they gave what the Bible says Moses had told them to in the wilderness in verse 9. And they brought the tithe to the Lord's collection, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded them to give. And they began giving. You see, giving is not a matter of choice. It's a matter of being obedient to what God tells you to do. Now think about that. It's a matter of obedience to God. Now you may be saying, Pastor, I am sick and I'm tired. of you talking about money. And I know we got visitors with us today. I'm glad you're visiting with us. I don't preach on money often, maybe once a year, and this is the day. You're so lucky. You hit it right on the nail. I haven't had to preach on money. I asked you to give, and you have given. You've given tremendously. But this year, our church is, we're reaching out, and we need to do more. We need at least $12,000 a week, and we haven't reached that. Now, I'm talking to every single one of you. I'm not talking to just the older people. I'm talking to the young people. I'm talking to your children. You ought to teach them to tithe. I taught my kids when they grew up, you take that 10% first out of the top and give to the Lord. That's what you ought to do. We set it as an example in our house. It wasn't a matter of choice. It wasn't a matter of money. It's a matter of being obedient to our Lord. Did you know the IRS says that about 1.7% of income of any kind is given to the church? 1.7%. Folks, that ought to make you cry. It ought to make us weep. I know it makes God weep. I know he's tired of his children robbing him. More money is spent on, I read, dog food, chewing gum, and soda waters. That's cold drinks, and some of you don't know. Than given to the church on any given week. You think about, most of you will probably take off and go here to a restaurant, and you will buy your lunch. If you're single, you'll probably spend at least $10 to $15. Some of you, as a family, will spend close to $50. And yet you tell me you can't give $50 to church? I think you're stealing from God. You see, just be honest with you. They gave humbly because they had a house, a heart for God's house. And not only that, look at verse 10. They gave happily. Man, I just can't believe that. Then all the leaders and all the people rejoiced and brought their contributions until the chest was full. Do me a favor. God loves a cheerful giver, he says in 2 Corinthians. Don't give like you're going to an electric chair. Okay? I don't have electricity wired up there. Don't give. I've seen some people say, preacher, I give 10%, but I'm about to starve to death. That's probably because they're giving grudgingly. God loves a cheerful giver. These people were happy to give because they knew what kind of church they were giving to. Folks, let me tell you something. If a church is a church it ought to be, it's reaching people for Christ. It's doing missions for Christ. It's not turned inward, but it's turned outward. It's a place that money can be funneled into missions and lost people to reaching other people. And that takes money. It takes money. Money for the lights, money for the sound, money for... Didn't you love that beautiful choir? Didn't you love the beautiful organ? They're going to be a music night out here at the church, and we're just going to have these girls just play a happy time. Boy, I tell you what, I can have a happy spell over their music. But you know, it takes time. It takes money. It takes all of that in the house of God. And they gave happily. Not only that, they gave heartily. They brought so much money. They gave so much sacrificially. Now, we can give and give sacrificially, folks. Not everyone can give the same amount, but we can all give sacrificially. I had a man one time say, you know, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to church. I said, so what? You still got $500,000. Why don't you give all of it except $100,000 and live off the $100,000? Well, I wouldn't have enough then. How much does it take for you to live? You expect your poor old pastor to live off $50,000 a year. That was the church that they were in that time. And you can't live off $500,000? Something is wrong with you, fella. Think about it. Reminds me of a story. An old farmer came by church office one time, and him and his wife came, and he said, "Preacher," he says, "we've got $12,000 here that we've saved up, and we're going to give it to the Lord." Preacher said, "Praise the Lord." He said, "I want to count it out here so you'll know that we gave $12,000. He counted $11,999. He said, "That's not right. We gave $12,000. So he counted it again right there in front of his wife, in front of the preacher, and he got $11,999. And he said, "I don't know what's wrong." And his wife said, "Honey, you got the wrong jar." Folks, give heartily what God has blessed you with. Give happily. Give humbly to the Lord. Our God is a gracious God. You see, and they gave hopefully. The money was to be taken from year to year. This was not a stopgap program, folks. It's one that carries on from year to year to year to year for the rest of your life. You want to be happy in your life, you start giving back to God what God has given you. You know, I could go on and on and on talking about all the programs that we have here in the church. We've got programs. Brother was talking about it in Sunday school, about all the programs, and I started thinking, man, we do have a lot of programs. There's a youth program, there's a music program, there's a children's program, there's choirs, children, we got young children, we got youth, we got adult choirs. We've got all kinds of programs. But the tithe is not given to those programs. That's offerings. The tithe goes to the house of the Lord. You see, his money was taken. Hopefully, growing churches need more buildings. Growing churches need more staff and more ministries. And folks, we do not waste money here in this church. It's used purposely. I couldn't tell you how many people have come by this church and have been fed through this church programs. Man, I tell you, the Lord has been blessed. You'll never have to give, somebody told me, to a dead church because they never do anything. But a church that is alive is going to be a church that you have to give to. And then they gave harmoniously. Not everyone had the same thing, but they all had something. We have a Giving to Grow program, a building. Everything you give above your tithe, you want to put on the Giving to Grow. I asked you for years to pray about what you could give above your tithe to pay off the building note. That's the reason we paid them off so quick. You've all given sacrificially above your tithe. And I tell you every year, some can give $10 extra a week. Some can give $20 extra a week. Some can give $100 extra a week. But some can only give maybe 50 cents extra a week. I know we have a lot of little ladies and little men here that live off of Social Security. And I know Social Security doesn't pay too much. You see? But I had one little lady that she took her Social Security check, and on top of that Social Security check, she gave it to me and she said, "Preacher, would you write out my tithe here so I'll know how much to give off of it?" Now that's dangerous, asking a preacher to do that. But I told her, "This is what you give." And then she said, "Can I give 50 cents more to the building?" I said, "Well, you don't have a whole lot there to live off of." And she said, "I'll have enough. I'll have enough." You know what, at $900-something, boy, a month, it's not a whole lot. But she gave until the day she died. I tell you what, I know she gave happily to the Lord. She was a cheerful giver. I never saw her go without. I never saw her complaining about giving. Man, God loves her. And I know one thing, she's got a mansion over yonder. You see, not everyone can give the same thing, but we all can give something. Now, we all come up with the same old excuses. But that's exactly what they are. An excuse. You may not have a widow's mite, but a widow's mite, but you ought to give that. You may have a lot. God tells you to give, you give. Let me make this clear. When you tithe, you give your tithe to the storehouse. And special offerings, folks, it's always been a case in just about every church, and especially this church has done it. Some of you do it. When you tithe and we take up a special offering like Lottie Moon, you give your tithe to Lottie Moon and don't give the offering. That's not right. I'm just telling you so you'll know. If you give the Lottie Moon, you give above your tithe. You don't take it out of your tithe and give. That's not tithing. And some of you don't understand that. But you do now. Give out of obedience to God. Give as He has prospered you. Let's purpose in our heart in 2018. Right now, to give God's tithe and to give above and beyond to His work. That's the Lord might be a that this house might be a testimony to all who come in that these people here at First Baptist Church love God with all their heart. Would you stand with me? And let's sing a chorus. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. You know that song, brother? Well, let's sing it then.
To God
be the glory. Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life and atonement for sin, and opened the floodgate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Now, while you're standing there, if you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you've never trusted Him as Lord and Savior, you need to. He died for you. We're sinners, and we needed a Savior. And He died upon that mercy tree, that old rugged cross, that we might have life. But if we don't accept Him, and we don't give our heart to Him, we choose not to be obedient to Him, then we'll be lost forever. I want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ this morning if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you do know Jesus Christ and you're here and you just need to recommit your life to Him, maybe you're sitting here and you say, well, you know, preacher, you're right. I haven't committed the tithe like I should. And I want to make that, I want God to know that I'm making a commitment to Him or some other commitment to Him. Maybe you haven't served God like you ought to. This morning, would you come and just kneel at the altar and say, God, today I'm making a commitment in 2018 to serve You like I should serve You and give like I should give. Maybe you're here today and you're visiting with us and this is where God's led you and you would like to join. I'd be glad to share with you and talk to you about how to join our church. But whatever decision you need to make, God's leading you to make, you make that right now, okay? I'm going to get on my knees before God, and I'm going to commit my life to him to tithe like I should and do all that I should in this church for 2018. Heavenly Father, I thank you as we come, Lord, that we come committing ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.